Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
I'm Anissa.
And I'm Ellen.
And this is Raw. For those of you who are not Rawyers, that's our tribe.
We get real, we get raw.
Yeah. Yeah. Our thing is like no filter ever, unless it's Snapchat.
We're one take whores.
Yeah. And I'm wondering about the one take with the podcast. Boy, that'd be really interesting.
I love that. Listen, it's one take always, yeah, baby. One take always.
It is. You always know. You never know what you're going to get, but you can always trust that what you get is going to be real.
That's it. That's it in a nutshell right there. Yeah. We're done. Drop the mic.
Hi, this is Ellen.
And this is Anissa.
And this is Anissa and Ellen Raw. How are ya? I say that every time.
I know.
How are you today?
Yeah, I'm a little tired, but I'm really good. I'm good.
I don't think we've told everybody that you work with me now.
I work with Ellen now. And it's also was amazing to not have to drive far to get to to record today because Brian lives like 2 miles from work or whatever.
Yes.
So
she does. This is almost her second full week of working with me.
And I love it.
I know. And it kind of happened just sort of organically, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And she loves it. And
everybody loves
her. And
it's
I get to see
team.
Her every day.
I know. But we're really good. Like it's. I will say that it's a really good thing that we're not on the same floor.
Yes.
If we were on the same floor, I'd be like, I'm just going to go over and talk to Ellen. So since we're on different floors, it helps a lot.
Yes. Yeah. So we're excited today, right?
Oh, my gosh.
So before Anissa introduces our guest to you, and before I tell you the topic that she's going to talk about, I'm so excited. When we talked about doing this podcast, this person was at the very top of our list to come in and talk.
Very first.
Like literally on the piece of paper in my notebook, this person. So go ahead and introduce her.
And I'm so excited because it's our first expert.
Yeah, she is.
So,
and our first expert, but especially like in health and fitness, which we've touched on a little bit, but we've done a bunch of other topics. But this is, I get a lot of questions. Hey, you know, when are you going to talk about this and that and the other? And so she's going to talk about this, that, and the other.
She is.
Today.
Oh, my gosh.
She's
and I can't wait. And I can't
wait
to even tell, like, my first experience with her. It's so funny. But
anyways,
so those of you who know Ellen and I and maybe even know us from our kind of gym job, you may actually know our guest. And we are so, 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 so excited to have Melissa Lane here with us today.
We love her.
So let me tell you a little
she's
bit
a
about...
Crush.
Oh, my gosh. Have you ever
totally.
Seen her... Have you ever seen her legs?
Yes, and she's tanned and beautiful.
I was
and
a little
I'm
disappointed, Melissa, when you got out of the car and you didn't have on shorts.
She's fabulous.
Like,
she's
oh
like
my
tanned
God, and her legs are holy sugar
and I'm
biscuit.
Sweating and...
I know. And she's like, oh,
my shirt is too tight right now.
Beautiful. So Melissa Lane has her master's in education and is a faculty member in the Exercise Physiology and Physical Education Department of the University of North Georgia, where my son Dylan goes to school.
Really? Oh, that's cool.
Yes, he does. He and his girlfriend Katie both attend there. But he hasn't been in your class. I told him, I'm like, you need to go take one of her classes. You know, I'm like, but you have to work really hard, Dylan. And he's like,
Not so much.
Needless to say, you have not had Dylan Hepp in class. Yeah. She began her career over 30 years ago, but you would never know that. Dang, girl. Look at that skin. With a BS in PE and in a master's in exercise physiology. Mm-hmm. She has taught elementary PE, coordinated fitness programs for Royal Caribbean and Home Depot, and managed an exercise program for a team of orthopedic surgeons. Melissa is the author of Water Exercise, Human Kinetics, 2015, a member of the educational faculty, and a DVD. Oh, my word. I don't have the rest of it.
That's okay. We can stop.
You tell us. Anyways, so I could tell you that this chick knows her shit.
And, she does.
I was fortunate enough, not this past Mania, but the Mania before, I attended one of your talks, sessions. I couldn't take notes fast enough. So you're going to want to get out if you don't have a notepad for this. You're going to listen to it twice because what she's about to lay down for us is... Not only is it the truth, and can really help you, but it's also no nonsense. She really takes, I think, things that are what I always walk away from is what you give me is usable. Mm-hmm. I can actually take what you've given me and apply it to my life instead of just like I've read a textbook. And I did get a certification, and that was not nearly as beneficial as listening to you for 45 minutes.
Well,
my certification.
Thank you.
I love it because I love Melissa. Well, I've known her from the gym, and it was so funny because back when she taught with us, anytime I had an issue with a move or something going on, I would text her and ask her, and she's so no nonsense. I love it because she just tells it like it is. She doesn't bullshit you, and she doesn't lead you on with, oh my gosh, you know, if you go do this and take this and eat this and buy this, you're going to lose weight in 2 days and you're going to be fabulous. She's very practical. She's just no nonsense. I mean, if you follow her on Facebook, some of the posts that she does, I mean, it's real. I mean, it's practical.
Raw.
It's like, yeah. And it's common sense. A lot of it, it's like, hello. So I'm excited because she's going to talk. I think we're going to do a couple of episodes with her, but right for this one, she's going to talk to us about menopause. And y'all know how I feel about menopause. So we're going to let her chat. I think Anissa is going to ask her a couple questions, and then we're just going to let her go.
Yes. First, I want to say my very first experience in meeting Melissa when she was an instructor was my daughter Jessie was actually taking your classes because she worked in ops at Alpharetta. And so she's like, Mom, you have to come and take this Melissa instructor's class. She's so good. Her cueing is so good. And she's fucking funny. And so the first class that I was in, we were doing push-ups. And I will never, and I actually lifted this from you, and I've said it a few times. I give you credit when I say it, though. Come on now. Nipples or nose, whatever you're blessed with.
Absolutely. And you know what?
I totally forgot about that line. Totally.
Nipples or nose, whatever you're blessed with.
Gotta hit the floor.
And you know what? It's the truth. And then when you think about it, oh my gosh, you can't forget it.
So yeah, even my daughter is the one who told me that I needed to come.
Oh, how old was your daughter when she took that class?
Oh no, she was... I mean, in college.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
She now teaches over at Sandy Springs one day a week. So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
she's
she
awesome.
Caught the bug from you and Sonia.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. What's she teaching?
She teaches No Limits Circuit.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Early
she loves it.
5:30 a.m.
Wow.
Yep. Yep.
She's got a good crowd.
To work, she
like,
does.
It's good.
Mm-hmm. She does. All right. So, I guess I don't know that I have a question per se. I guess maybe just.
You want the down and dirty on menopause to start.
And what what it's doing to how our bodies just seem to change overnight.
Okay, so let me give you the facts first, and some of you aren't going to like this. The average age of menopause in the United States is 51. However, you experience menopause symptoms for 8 years. So that means you could start as early as 45 and last until... 8 years would be 53, even though you technically are in menopause at 51. So let's talk about what menopause is. Menopause is technically one day. It's when you have been free of a bleed, any bleed, for one entire calendar year. So a lot of people go 8 months and they think, all right, menopause, I'm not going to have another period. And then you bleed and then you start counting over again.
That just happened to me. I did 6 months without a period and then bled like a motherfucker for 4 straight weeks.
Okay. Very normal. Very normal.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with you.
Okay.
But now you start counting
again.
So that's what I was going to say. Okay. You start counting again.
So the year starts over now.
Right. So you are perimenopause because things are out of rhythm. And it happened because your ovaries were getting empty of eggs. So as soon as your ovaries get empty of eggs, your body goes, well, no longer fertile, so now it's time to quit making as much estrogen. So your hormones that you're going to see change the most are estrogen, which is actually a group of three, and we're just going to call them estrogen, progesterone. And it's not so much that they change on their own. It's that your ratio of one and the other is out of balance.
Okay.
Estrogen can drop to about 50% of your original numbers, while progesterone can drop to zero.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. However, it's estrogen that seems to cause the most mm-hmm. havoc in your okay. body. All right. But you're still making some of it. Your adrenals will still make estrogen, even though your ovaries aren't making estrogen. And here's the thing that we'll probably get into later. Your fat cells are actually an endocrine gland,
mm-hmm.
and your fat cells still make a little bit of estrogen.
I didn't even know that they made estrogen.
They make estrogen. The more fat cells you have, the more estrogen you make, which is why obesity is a risk factor for ovarian and breast cancer, because the longer you're exposed to estrogen over your lifetime, the more likely you are to get a feminine gynecological mm-hmm. related cancer. Huh. So
I didn't know that either.
Anything, think about what changes your estrogen levels. People who never have children are going to have higher levels. Me too.
Me too.
Ellen and I are mm-hmm. pointing to ourselves. People who have never had children are going to have higher levels of estrogen because we've never been without that 9 months of not having that estrogen. Mm-hmm. The more fat cells we have, the more estrogen. We now have environmental estrogens, why you should never drink out of a water bottle that sits in a hot car mm-hmm. or plastics that are heated in the microwave unless they're BPA-free. You have soy, which has mm-hmm. isoflavones, which are plant estrogens, and you'd have to eat a pretty good amount of those unless you were holding on to the BRCA gene. If the mm-hmm. BRCA gene runs in your family, your doctor's probably going to tell you very little plant estrogen at all. Then the other thing that a lot of people are going to hate me for is the amount of alcohol you drink, because there is an enzyme in your liver called aromatase, and everybody has a little bit. But when you drink alcohol, your aromatase levels go up. And aromatase turns testosterone into estrogen.
No kidding.
So everybody has aromatase. Men have it because they need a little estrogen to keep their blood vessels pliable. Estrogen keeps your blood vessels pliable, which is why you're less likely to have a heart attack before menopause if you're a woman than afterwards. Men that are bodybuilders take aromatase inhibitors because they don't want any more aromatase turning testosterone into estrogen. So the more you drink, aromatase raises in proportion to how much you drink. Drink a little bit, make a little bit more aromatase, mm-hmm. turn a little bit more testosterone into estrogen. Drink a lot, make a lot of aromatase, turn testosterone into estrogen. Think about it. What's the first outward sign or symptom of a male alcoholic?
I mean, yeah.
His face turns red, his skin. And
that's
our blush. Yeah. That's our blush that comes from estrogen. Because think about it. We don't have to put on blush. When we're fertile and our estrogen levels go up, mm-hmm. we have those pink cheeks.
Yeah.
When baboons are fertile, their butt turns red because it's the estrogen levels. That's okay. how the male baboon goes to get them. Men get man boobs.
Yeah, they do.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, because of their level of estrogen. So we want to keep our estrogen levels as low as possible, but it is the change in estrogen that sets us on the track of night sweats, insomnia, cranky mm-hmm. moods.
Depression.
And so let's jump ahead,
okay.
because all of those things now play back into the fact that we're not sleeping. So the lack of estrogen, the lack of estrogen dropping to 50% is now going to throw a bunch of things off. So we know that estrogen and melatonin have a relationship where when estrogen levels are higher, melatonin levels are higher.
Mm-hmm.
So you sleep better when your estrogen levels are higher. So once that estrogen starts dropping, melatonin
drops.
Right. Plus, we know estrogen throws off our internal thermometer. Well, you make more melatonin when you're cold. You always sleep better in a colder room with less clothes.
Exactly.
Right. So far we have no sleep because of less melatonin, which is less estrogen. When melatonin levels are high, serotonin is high, and serotonin is what makes you go, ah, everything is good with
right,
the world.
Exactly.
Well, when melatonin levels are low, because estrogen levels are low, then serotonin levels are low, and we turn into a bitch and go through depression.
Yeah.
And then we're not sleeping because of all those reasons. And now we have to look at the fact that when you sleep, you make growth hormone. You make growth hormone in non-REM, which is your stage 3 and 4, and you make testosterone in your REM sleep. But if our sleep is thrown off because of all those things we just mentioned, we're not getting the growth hormone and testosterone we need, so that when we do work out, we're not getting the muscle growth that we should be getting.
So is that also why it seems like, since I've been deep in my perimenopausal kind of symptoms and things, that I feel like my muscles are going away? Like they're just evaporating.
I am in the 5 minutes, less than 5 minutes that she's been talking. I mean, holy shit.
Light bulb.
That's and you.
Yeah. And not only that, but the doctors that I've talked to about this have never explained it like this. And it makes perfect sense. And I used to love to work out. I was always one of those people. I loved it. I mean, I had my days, but I never disliked it. And I always had energy. You couldn't get me to get up. Like, I just am like,
you were the
deflated.
5:15 queen. Yeah. You were in there every morning.
Every morning.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was because I'm not sleeping, my energy level is low, but now this all makes sense. And if you were here, sitting here, watching Melissa talk about this, I mean, we're in awe. It makes so much sense.
And the thing that sucks is that people don't know this. Like, this should be, could we spend a little less time selling me your bullshit so I can lose weight, and maybe talk to me about the truth about what's happening in my physiology so that I can make real choices about what's actually happening,
right.
not taking more stuff that's actually adding, making stuff worse or whatever.
Well, here's what you got to know. And this was funny because at Atlanta Mania, which was 2 weeks ago, I did a post-con on Sunday called A Practical Guide to Nutrition, Hormones, and Metabolism. And there was a lady that came in late, and I said, you've missed our introductions, but let me go ahead and just give a quick introduction. You know, tell us who you are, where you're from. And she said, well, I currently live in Athens, but I'm from Jamaica, and I'm an MD. And I went, excuse me, what? And she said, I'm a medical doctor. And I was like, why are you here?
Yeah.
And she said, because we take one basic nutrition class. And she said, the information that we get about hormones and nutrition is minimal. And she participated well in the discussion. But when we got to hormones, and she said, I'm a general practitioner, not an OBGYN or anything, but they get more experience with treating current illnesses as opposed to preventing the symptoms that you have going on. And that's the problem with America. We're living longer, not because we're healthier, but because we're better at medicine. We're treating things better.
Right. It's disease care, not health care.
Right, exactly. So that's one of the reasons that we feel like we don't have any energy. And as far as the testosterone goes, you know, the big thing these days, not only is hormone replacement therapy, which is totally out of my scope of practice, and it's something you have to make a decision for yourself, but testosterone replacement therapy for men is becoming an enormous big business. But nobody ever tells men that you can eat foods that raise your testosterone levels. That's what aphrodisiacs are. They raise your testosterone levels. That if you sleep better, your testosterone levels go up. We're the most productive country in the civilized world. and we have the highest rate of heart attacks because our cortisol levels are so high. Mm-hmm. Part of that being because we're not sleeping, and we're not sleeping, therefore we're not making testosterone. And then if you tell a man there's five exercises that you can do in the gym, and this is for a woman too, there's five exercises in the gym that will raise your testosterone to higher than normal levels and keep them high. Because think about it. You make testosterone when you sleep, but it's very short-lived. Think about morning sex. You told me I could say whatever I wanted to.
You sure can.
Say whatever you want.
I just said. But think about morning sex. It's a very short-lived testosterone. Mm-hmm. Testosterone that you make in the gym stays in your bloodstream longer, therefore has a better chance of being used to start muscle growth. So if we will stick with, you want those five exercises?
Oh, yes. You know, we're like, Brian, I'm over here salivating. See, I told you, Brian's like, wait, hold on. Let me tell Siri to make a note.
It's common sense. It's leg press, shoulder press, bench press, deadlifts, and squats.
The basics.
It's your biggest muscle groups. Mm-hmm. Make your body make the most testosterone. And then the other thing that people don't think about is use it or lose it. A principle of fitness that also applies mm-hmm. in the bedroom. The more you have sex, the more testosterone you're going to make.
Makes sense.
For men or for women too?
Both.
Both.
Now, why for women?
Because testosterone is still made in your adrenal glands when you're a woman.
Okay.
And just getting your libido going and raising those hormone levels keeps your testosterone
level high. So does orgasm then stimulate that, or it's just the hot and bothered feeling stimulates that?
You know, I don't really know what stimulates that. I don't know that you have to have an orgasm to raise your testosterone.
Because there'd be a lot of women out there that would be going, well, God, if I have to have an orgasm for it, good luck for me, right?
So let me ask you this. I've seen on especially social media where folks have been posting about that they're decreasing their estrogen and increasing their testosterone. They're doing more testosterone therapy type stuff that... Women. Mm-hmm. So what is the, I mean, and they don't have any issues. Like they don't say I have menopausal issues or anything. They just say, you know, you all have to focus on your testosterone, do more testosterone therapy and lessen the amount of estrogen in your body.
I would think that they're trying to lessen their estrogen in their body to decrease their risk of feminine cancers.
Okay.
Are they taking testosterone to increase their muscle mass? Because here's, and even though when we say increase our muscle mass, we don't think that we want to walk out and be bodybuilders.
Right.
And the thing we always hear is the more muscle mass you have, the higher your metabolism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
True, but only about 17 calories per day per pound of additional muscle. So the amount your metabolism is raised is minimal. Yeah. Oh. But here's where the difference comes in. Okay, so you can build a muscle tissue without testosterone and without growth hormone, but it's a lot easier if you have testosterone and you have growth hormone. So your muscle grows through something called the satellite cell theory. It's basically like a stem cell. And so as your muscle gets bigger, you obviously have to have more nutrients going to it to produce ATP so it will contract. Mm-hmm. So fat from wherever you carry it in your body is obviously going to be one of those nutrients. The thing to remember about fat is it's not soluble in water. So every time it travels in your bloodstream, it has to have a chaperone. Mm-hmm. Well, let's say you're in a cycle class, and let's say it's an endurance class. So you're riding aerobically for a whole hour, and your legs are going, we're almost out of our fuel, we're almost out of our nutrients. Send some down from wherever you carry the most of it. Let's say it's your belly. So your belly says, okay, fat incoming. It gets on a protein called albumin, and albumin carries your free fatty acids to your legs, drops it off, and then your legs can use it as an energy source. Mm-hmm. However, you can only burn as much fat as albumin can carry. Okay. And think of albumin as the trucking company for Macy's. Mm-hmm. If Macy's needs more dresses, which is our fat, they get on the albumin truck. The albumin truck goes through our bloodstream to Macy's, but it doesn't just drop it off at the back door of the store. It has to have a loading dock.
Okay.
So there's got to be an albumin binding site.
Okay.
Makes sense. The more albumin binding sites you have, the faster you burn fat. So people who are taking testosterone, who are working out, mm-hmm. are going to build more muscle as long as everything else is right in the world. And therefore, they're going to have more albumin binding sites. Mm-hmm. So when they do call in that extra fat, more can be dropped off.
Okay.
But I don't know that getting replacement therapy is the answer.
I think from just thinking about the posts that I've seen, I think it's what you initially said. I think it's the whole cancer from just the folks that have posted it, that's why they're encouraging other women to do that as well, because that's their shtick.
Right.
So I was just curious.
I have friends who are breast cancer survivors and they take estrogen blockers and mm-hmm. have had hysterectomies and things like that.
Right.
Just, you know,
to prevent
recurrence.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And are probably not putting any soy products in their body at all.
Yep.
Yep. Because they're decreasing those estrogen levels.
Yep. So I have a question about whether or not, because this is, it drives me, I am almost to the point where I'm afraid to eat, because it seems like stuff that I used to be able to eat, mm-hmm. I put it in my body now and I'm 4 months pregnant 10 minutes later. Mm-hmm. Or
my digestive system, it doesn't seem like it. I'm a wreck.
Okay.
But I'm afraid, literally. Like,
I am too. I don't have as healthy a relationship with food as I used to, and it's because of all of this.
Yeah.
And I talk to Anissa about it all the time.
So you mentioned Triscuits. Mm-hmm. You just threw that out there. Here's one thing that a lot of people don't know. Carbohydrates are hydrophilic. They love water. Mm-hmm. So whenever you eat a carbohydrate, especially a complex carb that changes its consistency in water, so think about oatmeal, whole wheat bread, whole wheat Triscuits. Think about what happens if you have a bowl of water and you put whole wheat bread mm-hmm. in that bowl of water. What's going to happen?
Yeah.
It soaks it up.
It soaks it up. Mm-hmm. The same thing happens in your digestive tract. So you actually store 3 to 4 ounces of water for every gram of carbohydrate that you eat that is mm-hmm. going to soak up water. So you're probably better coming away from your carbs that soak up water, especially if you want those pants to fit, you mm-hmm. know, whatever, and going to more of your green mm-hmm. carbohydrates. Okay. Nobody ever got fat eating plants.
Right.
Right.
They just didn't. Mm-hmm. So you do kind of have to, if you're.
So it's not necessarily, it's not necessarily a gluten thing. It just happens to be that those foods are soaking up the water, and that's why I'm bloating, not necessarily because I just can't have gluten.
Not necessarily. Right. Gluten may play a role in it, mm-hmm. but gluten sensitivity is a lot less frequent than what people in America mm-hmm. want to say it is. Yeah. They use that as an excuse, you know. There are some people that are gluten sensitive. They're gluten intolerant. They're gluten allergic, yes, but for us to take gluten out of everything for everyone doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, well, my main question is, what do you recommend? I mean, how do I help myself with all of these insomnia and hot flashes and things of that sort without doing hormone replacement therapy? Or, I mean, are there some natural, make common sense things to do to help myself?
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So number one, we got to get people back to sleeping again, going mm-hmm. to bed at a half decent hour. And the one thing you have to look at is if the average age of menopause is 51, that's about when parents are moving kids into college. Mm-hmm. It's about when we start worrying about our own health. we start worrying about parents, and a lot of times we have to worry about, are they okay by themselves?
Right.
So that, with the fact that we don't sleep, tends to make us turn to alcohol more, because alcohol makes you go to sleep, but it ruins your circadian rhythm, so you wake up. So the alcohol is a big one. You can make more melatonin naturally if you will have a small serving of carbohydrates, probably plants, maybe an hour before you want to go to sleep. Serotonin actually turns into melatonin by way of tryptophan. So any high protein plant like spinach or something like that will raise your melatonin levels by way of serotonin. A colder room. Clothing that is not tight. Loose clothing, or men can thank me for this later on, no clothing whatsoever, and you make more melatonin. Getting off your phone a solid hour before you go to bed. Covering up any alarm clock, any blue-green light, any of that decreases your melatonin. And they do believe that there may be a link between oxytocin and melatonin. So a good old romp in the hay right before you go to sleep might help too. But that'll bring your melatonin levels up, your testosterone, your growth hormone. Got to get rid of the stress in our lives. Toxic people, toxic worlds, toxic foods. The other thing that we now know is there's a ton of information out there about the health of our gut, what is known as your second biome, how many bacteria you have in your intestine. And it's actually believed that over 90% of your serotonin is actually made in your gut. So if you treat a healthy gut, it will actually make your brain healthier and your depression, all of those things. And they know that your bacteria in your gut thrives off of plants. And it thrives off of a greater variety of plants. So not just spinach every night, broccoli every lunch, you know, whatever for breakfast. But the greater variety that you can get in your diet, the more healthy of a biome that you build in your stomach. And that should help.
When it's interesting that you say that, because I had told Anissa. So I have gone to various doctors over the last year just to try to figure out exactly what was going on. I mean, I knew I was in menopause. I knew exactly when menopause started. I was, it was like 5 years ago. I knew exactly. And of course I was Dr. Webb, MD, you know, looking up stuff. But initially it didn't, initially it was, I felt the normal path of being on menopause, like what I read. And then all of a sudden it just sort of kicked in on the downward spiral. So I went to my OBGYN and I went to nutritionists. I went to all these people. What's interesting is the number one thing they tell me is the sleep, but they don't explain it to me. They just say you need more sleep.
Right.
Okay, I get that. But what's so funny is I went to, I have this weird rash on my arm. It just started. It feels like, you know, just like, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't, but I've never had anything. So I went to the dermatologist and she recommended that I go have a food allergy test done. And so I did. And they told me that I have leaky gut syndrome. So that my doctor was like, you know what, that is probably causing some of your menopausal issues to like just exacerbate. And it made complete sense. So, you know, Anissa and I were talking about the, you know, I go online and here's how you clear up leaky gut and don't eat this and, you know, which makes sense. I mean, it's all health. It's not anything crazy. It's not anything that I would be like, oh my gosh. But it, the whole gut thing makes complete sense. And that's what was causing the rash that is, you know, going away now. But just, and I think because I've told Anissa in the past, oh, my, all of a sudden I have menopause and I can't eat this and my can't eat this. And I think it was all connected somehow to that too.
Absolutely. Every, what you put in your body at this age is 100% how you're going to feel. And even though food plays such a big role in it, I think the one thing that, this is another thing that OBGYNs don't tell you, mm-mm. but, you know, the number one type of fat that is in your body is a triglyceride. Mm-hmm. It's like a fat E. It's got three fatty acids, so mm-hmm. those would be the arms, and that's what you burn for energy. And fat can't travel in your body, so it has to have a chaperone. So the chaperone is like a glycerol molecule, like mm-hmm. a Tylenol gel cap. So you have a Tylenol gel cap that is attached to the three things that you use for energy. Well, what they don't tell you is estrogen levels that are high let you cleave that glycerol molecule off easily. So when we're young and fertile, mm-hmm. when we're eating our triglycerides, our body is going, knock that baby out of yeah. here, burn those three fatty acids as energy, and we're good to go. Well, once our estrogen levels bottom out, that glycerol molecule isn't cleaved mm-hmm. off as easily. So we really have to watch how much fat we're putting in our body.
That completely makes sense. I mean, we talk about it all the time. Yeah. It's like,
and what about the fact that I have never had a belly my entire life ever. And now it seems like I'm like, what the fuck is that?
Because your fat is redistributing. Because think Why? About it. Because when you were fertile, mm-hmm. when you had children, your estrogen was keeping your body fat down around your female reproductive
your pelvis,
organs, okay. right? Well, once that estrogen level drops because there's no eggs, your body goes, well, if there's no eggs and there's no estrogen, she's not going to get pregnant. So we don't need that fat. We're going to move it up, and it now becomes visceral fat.
Right.
So estrogen, a lack of estrogen makes you redistribute your fat.
Yes. I don't have very much estrogen, okay? I'm just saying. I'm in hell.
I know Ellen was giving me, she's like, I had to go buy a dress for your daughter's wedding and I'm not happy about it. Because nothing
fit
fits
in anything that I yeah. own.
But more than anything, it's how you feel.
Yeah.
I mean, I think probably the best thing about going through menopause and being done and saying, here we are, I don't have to worry about it anymore, is not only does your body kind of, once you're through those 8 years, your body comes back into homeostasis.
It gets better. Okay.
You learn how to work out. You learn how to eat. You learn how to sleep. And I think more than anything is you now have become happy with the person you are. So people who don't play in your playground, mm-hmm. you don't want mm-mm. anymore. And it's okay to cut them free. Yes, maybe you might go from 10 dimes making up a dollar to 4 quarters making up a dollar. And that's what happens to your friendships. But now your cortisol levels drop because you're going, you know what? I don't care that you don't want to play mm-hmm. with me anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I'm okay with that. Your tribe gets smaller, but I think it gets tighter and you become much more secure in who you are and that your body's working for you, that it mm-hmm. gets you up at 5:30 every morning, that it goes to the gym and, you know, I can't do star jumps anymore because mm-hmm. I know the minute I jump, I'm going to pee on myself.
Right.
And I've never had a child, so I yeah. don't know what happened there. But you just start feeling good that your body lets you do what it still does, mm-hmm. whether it's at 55, I don't feel like I need to be doing burpees anymore.
No.
There's no mm-hmm. need for me to do a burpee. Mm-mm. It's not a functional exercise for me. Mm-mm. If my cat's toy rolls under the sofa, I'm not going to do a burpee to go
to get it.
You know, I'll go down into a plank and yes. get it, but that's not functional for me. And I think we get to the point after menopause where we're like, you're now very secure in yourself because mm-hmm. your hormones have stabilized to where they're going to be.
Yeah, okay. I absolutely agree. And I mean, you know, I'm 5 years into it, so I only have 3 years left, girl. I'm so excited.
I'm not even in it
but
yet.
You're so right. The things that I worried about initially that I felt like I couldn't no longer do, at this point now, I'm like, I'm okay with it. Like, I don't need to do those things. I'm not, let Jesse do those things.
Right.
You know, let
the
her 20 do all
somethings the, yeah, and the 30
absolutely.
Somethings. Have at it.
I want to, you know, I want to be healthy, but I want to be flexible. And I don't care if I can jump the highest or run the fastest anymore like I used to. I really don't. And it's it's funny about the whole friend thing. You know, and we talk about it in Raw all the time. I mean, I just don't give a shit for people that don't
give a shit.
Yeah. Give a shit about me. Yeah. It's like, it's not that I don't care about those people anymore, but I used to let things slide so much, you know, and it's not that I don't let them slide, but I just don't even.
Yeah. You've lost your tend and befriend hormone because that's what estrogen was. Estrogen was that hormone where you had a play date and you tended and you befriended everybody in your child's play date. And once that hormone is gone, you don't have to tend and befriend anymore.
Love that. Tend and befriend.
There's actually another phrase for the opposite of tend and befriend. And I can't think of what it is right off the top of my head.
But
it's
there's actually even a physiological reason that you don't give a fuck anymore.
Oh yes, absolutely.
How cool is that?
And that's why, I mean, you think about your mom. Like my mom is like that. She's always kind of been like that, but now she's just like, I don't care if I don't clean my house and I have company because I worked hard all my life and I want to sit and watch Korean soap operas on TV. And that's what she does. Okay. And, I mean like she's just, you know, I love it. I'm like, you do it. Go on with your bad self. Do what you want to do.
And so when you talk about the exercise, like what is, like if you were to give a prescription to a menopausal or perimenopausal woman,
which would be us,
like what is the most bang for our buck in terms of exercise besides the five that you mentioned to boost testosterone?
Okay. I think I would have to say two things for that. The first one is extremely simple. Eat less, move more. And while it doesn't matter what kind of moving you're doing, there is definitely a movement in this country where we are doing way too much HIIT training.
Yes.
And we see it at the gym all the time. We see CrossFit. We see the blue boot camp or the bang boot
burn, camp. Burn. There's Burn. There's Alpha. There's Lifetime.
Yeah. There's HIIT training that is happening every day. And we don't tell people you shouldn't HIIT train every day. Number one, a cardiologist would actually have a fit if you said you were HIIT training every day. And think about it. Why do you HIIT train? You HIIT train to cross your anaerobic threshold to get an EPOC or an afterburn. Mm-hmm. Well, that EPOC or afterburn, depending on how high your intensity was, might last 17 hours. Well, if I love your 7 p.m. class, but I want to get up the next morning and go do a 5:30 training at another HIIT workout, I may still be in my EPOC. Mm-hmm. I may still be in my afterburn. And if I'm still in my afterburn, then I'm wasting my time being in that class because I'm not going to cross the anaerobic threshold.
Nobody ever thinks about
that. Nobody ever teaches you that. So you have to still HIIT train 2 to 3 times a week, depending on how many times you work out total that week. But give yourself one day that is strictly an endurance day, where you get on the bike and you do 2 endurance rides, maybe back to back, because you're still going to burn less calories, but what you do burn will be a greater percentage of fat. Whereas when you're doing HIIT training, you're burning more calories, but more of those are carbs, but you've now created an afterburn.
Right.
And your afterburn is the majority of fat if you've fueled your body correctly.
What that means. What does it mean? Fuel your body correctly. Right there, I went ding, ding, ding. What is that?
That's probably a whole nother story. But number one, we cannot get on the fad diets that take a food group out of our nutritional plan. Our body was meant to eat carbohydrates, protein, and fat.
Fat.
And for us to have a healthy body, you need that. Carbohydrates are full of B vitamins. Protein, of course, is full of amino acids that build muscle. If you don't eat carbohydrates, the first thing your body does is break down protein. It doesn't immediately go to fat.
Mm-hmm. Again, which is what everybody thinks.
Mm-hmm. A whole nother story. Mm-hmm. So eat all your food groups, but stick by the thing. If it has a label, it's not healthy for you. Mm-hmm. Your healthiest foods are things that do not have labels.
She looked up the thing.
I looked up the thing.
Okay.
Okay, so.
The picture that you sent me.
Yeah.
So tell them what that is.
Okay, so there's this thing on social media about...
It's called Elevate. Elevacity.
I mean, it's like
that's
happy
the company.
Coffee. Yeah,
that's the company.
So it's like happy coffee. Like you drink this coffee and you lose all this weight.
Yes.
Okay. You know, let's do this. Are you okay to do one more hour?
I'm okay.
And we can talk about fads and because I have all sorts
of
questions.
Because the coffee would be a fad.
Yes. Yes. What about, so what about anything else about menopause?
So we talked about exercise. What about, I mean, other than food, nutrition, just eating more greens, eating things that, is there anything else that?
What about water intake? Does that?
Yeah.
For men,
well,
I mean, is.
Yeah. So, you know, drink half your body weight in water. What if I'm not thirsty?
Then you still need to drink. You should be looking at the color of your urine more so than anything. There is such a thing as drinking too much water, but you'd have to drink a heck of a lot. And remember, your body works best when it is well hydrated.
Okay.
Think about this. If I asked you, is it good to sweat? What would you tell me?
Yes. I mean, I would think so. Not overly.
I mean, I would think that, don't they say that that's like gets rid of some of your toxins and
it cools your body off is what I've heard.
Body temperature.
So it cools your body off. So once you're sweating, it's telling you that your body is too hot. So you've actually lost that ideal temperature range. I'm not saying you shouldn't sweat.
No,
it's a necessary evil.
But it just makes sense, doesn't it? Do you ever think about it that way? Hell no. I'm like, makes complete sense.
It makes complete sense that once you start to sweat, it's because your body is too hot.
Yeah.
So your muscles contract at an ideal temperature. So the more water you can keep in your body, the more you can keep them at that ideal temperature.
Oh, aren't we talking about a fad about exercise and the next one then about this whole heat bullshit stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, I cannot wait.
Well, then you,
we'll see. I just want to know. Lay it out.
Okay.
No, any other menopausal things? Any other tidbits we didn't hit on that you think
I'm overwhelmed. I'm completely overwhelmed. And like we said,
take notes.
I have to, I'm going to have to listen to this several times.
Cortisol. Keep your cortisol levels, not low, but make sure your cortisol levels spike.
Okay.
Up in the gym, down at night.
Up in the gym, down at night. Okay.
Not all the way up.
Yeah. Or up, boom, which is why not. Mine go boom like that. And then
they should
boom.
Be a roller coaster.
Yes.
Awesome.
Okay, good.
You can hear Anissa and Ellen on multiple platforms.
You can visit atlpn.com, atlantapodcastnetwork.com, on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, and Spotify.
Just search for ATL Podcast Network or Anissa and Ellen Raw to find our show. Sure. But honestly, the easiest way is go to ATL Podcast Network.
Yes.
And while you're there, fucking hit the subscribe button, okay? Just saying. Hit the subscribe
button.
Listen
to some of the other things.
Listen to some of the other shows.
They're
but
awesome.
That's the easiest way to find us. And you can hit us up on social, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Peace. And stay tuned for
part two.
Yes.